Today's daf is daf Chaf Dalid. We'll begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Gimel and Beis. Thank you very, very much for coming. Again, these Mishnayos have been dealing with the topic of HaPesha Asaru HaPesha Yitir. If we had to believe someone to even have a problem, we believe him when he tells us that there's a solution to the problem. That's based on a migu di ibay shasik. He could have been quiet, and he would have gotten his way by being quiet. Now that he opened up his mouth, certainly he should be believed in all that he says. And that led to a discussion of which we saw at the end of yesterday, that a woman is believed if a woman says that another woman who was taken captive while in captivity was not violated, she's believed, and we're not even choshesh for gomlin. We're not even worried that maybe they're colluding, that one woman said her friend is okay in return for the fact that her friend is going to say she's okay, and really that they're not okay. So the next Mishnah tells us another halacha where we don't worry about gomlin. Let's say there are two men. One says, I'm a Kohen. The other one says, I'm a Kohen. Ain't a neeman. They would not be believed. We wouldn't give them truma. However, one says, my friend is a Kohen. And his friend says, he's a Kohen. Each one is testifying for the other. They are believed, and we are not worried. Oh, maybe they are colluding. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein malin lekuhuna al pi eid echad." Anytime there's only one person telling us somebody's a Kohen, we don't believe him, even when it's not a question of maybe they're colluding. Anytime it's just one person, we don't believe. We need two to say that somebody's a Kohen. Amar Belazar, Belazar said, "Ein masai." When is this so? When there are people who are claiming that he's not a Kohen, when there's a rumor that he's disqualified, but when there's a place where no one's saying anything, then even a single witness would be believed to say somebody's a Kohen. One witness is believed to establish someone as being a Kohen.
Rabbi, do you need one witness for a Kohen?
That's this argument.
That's what I've been telling him.
You told him that,
Rabbi.
Every morning he gives me the business.
The witness. You know, the one.
He's asking the Ruma. I said, prove it to me, you're a Kohen. This is the argument between Rabbi Baruch and Rabbi Roger.
That's right.
All right.
That's good. You're doing a good job. So now we've had many, many Mishnayos dealing with the question of Apesh Asar Apesh Yitir. So the Gemara asks, Kol Hani Lamali, why do I need so many cases of Apesh Asar Apesh Yitir? A man who's in a field who tells the fellow walking by, this was your father's, but I bought it from him. A woman who comes and tells us I was taken captive, but I'm pure. Why do we need all of these cases? Answers the Gemara, Tzrichi, we need all of them. Yitana Mother of Yeshua, if we would have just started with the first case, and Rabbi Yeshua agrees, and when a person says, this was your father's field, but I bought it from him, because he could have been quiet and he would have been believed. Certainly he's believed when he says it was your father's and I bought it from him. I'll tell you the reason why he's believed then, Mishum Deika Dror Dumamona, because a person is really entering into some financial risk. The moment he says it was your father's, and maybe he's not going to win the case, maybe he's going to lose it. So once he's risking his money somewhat, then I would think he's believed. I will aid them when we talk about witnesses, the Lekha Dra Ramona, when there's no financial risk to them, when they come in and say this is our handwriting, but we were forced. So they're not entering into any financial jeopardy by saying this is our handwriting and validating the shtar. Same Allah would think that they're not believed. And if we would only have the case of witnesses who come in and say this is our handwriting, but we were forced, we were children, that they're believed there, I would think Mishum de la Alma, because they're testifying not about themselves, but they're impacting others. So when they're impacting others, we believe them. But when a person is talking about something that impacts himself, it was my father, it was your father's, but I bought it. So we don't believe him about himself with Hapesha Asar. So that's why I needed those two cases. If we would only have had the two cases, the case of the field and the case of the witnesses who are validating a shtar, I think here we believe a person based on Hapesha Asar, based on the Migudi Ibai Shasik, because it's a question of money. But when a woman shows up and says, I was married but I'm divorced. Now it's more than just money. The Isura, this is a question of prohibition. This is a question of a possible prohibition, right, of death. So Amalo, maybe we don't believe her. Or, so that's why we needed that case. Why do we need the fourth case that a woman comes and says, I was taken captive but I'm still pure, that she's believed? Because we want to then say, but if witnesses came after she had already married, which we said really means after she was given permission to marry, she doesn't lose that permit, she doesn't lose the permission that was granted to her. Well, that works if you're saying that, again, only at that line, if when she married, the witnesses came, is only referring to the case of being taken captive. But the one who said it, that's referring even to the first case. When witnesses came and said she was married, so then, I don't need the last case to teach us the halacha of that when witnesses come, she doesn't lose her credibility. Because we would know it from the first case, that even when witnesses come and say she was married, she doesn't lose her credibility. So certainly when witnesses come and say she was only taken captive, she wouldn't lose her state of being permitted. So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you why we needed the case of Nishbesi, of I was taken captive. Because of the Mishnah on the top of yesterday's Amud, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that teaches us that we're not worried that women may be colluding. Because we want to tell you the Mishnah, that Shtei Nashim Shenishbu, two women who were taken captive, one can testify about the other, and the other one can testify about the other. Shtei Nashim Shenishbu Lamli, why did I need that Mishnah? Because as I just said, Ma'al Detei Menechash Lagomen, we would have thought that maybe we don't believe a woman who says that her friend hasn't been violated because we assume that they're colluding. And they are just making up a story. One's going to save for the other, the other will save for the other. No, we're not worried. So now why do we need the last case? The two men each saying that the other is a Kohen. V'chein shnei anashim lamali. We wanted to say that because there we wanted to teach you the argument between Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether a single witness is believed to render a person a Kohen.
So why not between the two Shvuyot, if one meid on the other, not Ne'emanot, and when one of meid on the other, on the Kohen, who Ne'eman?
They are believed. When one woman testifies about her friend, she is believed. She's not believed if she testifies about herself.
Unless she's not in the bet.
Unless she's the one who taught us to us. Shtei nashim shenishbu, zot omeret nishbeti utohara. Zot omeret nishbeti utohara, einan ne'emanot. Ubizman shein mi'idot zoet zohare elu ne'emanot. They are believed. That's the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braita. A fellow comes in and says, Ani Kohen, I am a Kohen. V'chaveri Kohen. And my friend is also a Kohen. Ne'eman la'achilo b'tshuma. He's believed so that his friend can now eat tshuma. However, ve'eino ne'eman la'hasio isha. But he's not believed to marry him off to a wife. What does it mean, not believed to marry him off to a wife? So Rashi says, Eino ne'eman la'asio isha miyucheses. He's not believed to marry him off to a woman who has good lineage. Ma'alehi biyuchsen, this is an added stringency about marriage. Rishonim explained that according to Rashi, a man cannot marry a woman that he doesn't know her lineage. Because maybe she's a mamzeres. And a woman who knows that she comes from good lineage can't marry a man that she doesn't know, because maybe he is a mamzer. So here, where somebody testified he's not only not a mamzer, but he's a kohen, that is testimony that's needed. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that you don't know somebody, as long as you have no reason to think that they're a mamzer, you can go marry them. There's a chaz kashus. But apparently Rashi held differently. So we'll learn it the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos has a different explanation. Again, ani kohen v'chaveri kohen, a man who comes in and says, I'm a kohen and my friend is a kohen. So he is believed that his friend can eat truma. However, his friend couldn't marry a woman who we knew is not a mamzer, because the friend maybe is a mamzer. Until you get three people there. The friend, and shnayim idun lazeh, two people testifying about the friend that he's a kohen. Shnayim idun lazeh, two people testifying about him that he himself is a kohen and not a mamzer. Reb Yehuda says, not only is he not believed to enable his friend to marry a full-fledged Jewess, he would even not be believed to enable his friend to eat chuma. Until you have three people there. Two to testify that his friend is a Kohen. Two to testify about himself. So now, why would Rabbi Yehuda say this? Does this imply that Rabbi Yehuda is worried that if I'm testifying about my friend, maybe I'm colluding, and I made a deal that my friend will testify about me? Is that what's going on? Rabbanan lo chayish legomer. Rabbanan say, I'm believed about my friend to enable him to eat chuma, because we're not worried, at least in regards to eating chuma, that we are colluding. But we learned the exact opposite. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's not worried about collusion, and the Chachamim are worried about collusion. It's not written in a Mishnah in Masechet Dmai. Again, to review, Dmai is the food, grain, or vegetables of an Am Haaretz. Midrabanan, it's not considered kosher, because even though most Amaratzim do give Truma and Meiser from their food, a minority, let's say 10%, don't. And therefore, Chazal said, any food of an Am Haaretz, you have to suspect that maybe Truma and Meiser weren't separated from it, and treat it as if Truma and Meiser weren't separated from it, and you need to separate Truma and Meiser from it again in order for it to be kosher. We heard the exact opposite. The time of the Mishnah, Hachamarin are fellows who drive donkeys and have produce on their donkeys. So these are peddlers. They walk into a city. V'amar echad mehen, one of them says, listen, shali chadash, my grain is new, so it's really not so delicious. It's not dried out fully. Shal chaveri yasha, my friend's grain is excellent. Shali enu mesuka, my grain, the chumas and maestros weren't separated from it. But shal chaveri mesuka, my friend's grain, chumas and maestros were separated. So now we should certainly believe him. Because not only is it's a matter of isurit, echadem v'isurit, but even more so, he is diminishing his own interest to help somebody else. He should be believed. Says the Mishnah, Chachamim say, Eino Neman is not believed, and we wouldn't go buy his friend's grain. And if we did buy the friend's grain, we'd have to separate Chumas and Mises from the friend's grain again. Why is he not believed? Because of collusion. Because here he comes in with a good story. Next town, his friend is going to share the same nice story to help him. So therefore, we don't believe him. So you see that the Chachamim are worried about Gomlin. Rabbi Yehuda says, now when he's believed. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, we're not worried that people are colluding, that people are, coordinating testimony. I'm talking about, I thought Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, we do worry that people coordinate testimony. So Rav Adam Rab said, you just have to flip who says what. Say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, we are worried for Gomlin. Chacham say not. You don't have to flip around people in a Mishnah. After all, generally we assume the Mishnayos were watched carefully. We usually don't have this idea of Mukhlefes Hashita in a Mishnah. But rather, I'll tell you, it's not a contradiction. in regards to a man saying that my friend is a Kohen and you should give him Truma, the Buddha says, don't believe the man because maybe the friend is going to turn around and say he's a Kohen. But that's when you're talking about Truma. Truma is a biblical law that only a Kohen can eat Truma. But here, our Mishnah, we're talking about the peddlers. It's not talking about Truma. It's talking about Tamai. It's talking about the produce of an Am Aretz, the produce of an ignoramus, that only rabbinically we say we have to suspect Truma wasn't separated from it. But Tamai Yikilu, in Tamai they're lenient, so therefore they accept a single person's testimony, even when there's reason to think of collusion, because Rov Am Aretz Master Name, because as I mentioned, most Jews, even the non religious and the non-knowledgeable, they give their Meiser. It's only a minority that doesn't. So since most Ami Aretz give Meiser, really Demai is a stringency that it's not really that grounded. It's really not such a reason to think that there wasn't Meiser separated. Meiser probably was separated. Therefore, even a testimony that's somewhat of a weak testimony is believed to say that Meiser was separated. Because that testimony is buttressed by the Rove, by the majority of the people who give Meiser.
Question. So he doesn't have his Rove, we still, excuse me, don't allow to be demai.
Correct, but it's not such a strange, you know, it's not such a hard thing for us to allow people to eat demai, because we do have a rove that the meiser was given. Yeah, question.
Rabbi, the farmer doesn't have to prove that he already gave the meiser the 10%. How does he prove that he gave 10%?
Usually we trust him.
But the farmer
Amaratsim we don't trust.
But if they do the on top of the young, you know, your donkeys and bring it in town, and maybe the rabbi don't believe him, or maybe what? So they
That's
would
what
give
we're discussing.
Up 10% of that donkey thing to Cohen.
To the lady.
Could they do it right there?
Sure, absolutely. Always can do it there.
Double make sure it's kosher and whatever.
Absolutely. In Israel, there are still people that do meiser multiple times. It's called iber meiser, to give meiser again. They don't trust that the supervisors gave mice. They do it all over again.
Mm-hmm. Is there a penalty to the farmer if you gave mice to a Cohen who really wasn't a Cohen?
No.
Yeah, he didn't give truma to a guy who's not a Cohen.
So the farmer has to do diligence. He can't just, because one guy says he's a Cohen and he doesn't know him.
I mean,
didn't we learn that previously?
You know, at the end of the day, the food is still kosher because he separated the truma. Uh-huh. But
separating
the truma makes the food no longer teva.
So it's not giving; it's more separating.
It's a separating, yeah. But that guy who ate, excuse me, that guy who ate it, who's in trouble.
So it's the intent.
The fellow who's a non-Kohen who eats truma, he's doing an aveira. He has to pay back to Kohanim the amount plus a fifth in respect of carbon.
So what's the punishment for Dmai?
It's death.
This is a pretty.
No, not Tamai.
Okay.
It's not Tamai.
I didn't think. Right. It's light?
Yeah, it's a Tinder Abana.
But it's Mina Shemayim, death?
It's Havel, I believe so. It's Mina
Shemayim. Rabbi, when I was a man, if Shuk Machne Yuda, if somebody put a sign, which is.
Yeah.
And you write, if Rash have Fashuma Asaro.
Really? We don't believe you. Most of the guys there are. I would think most of them are probably Am Aretz.
You're not. Okay.
I don't think they're the most learned people there, probably.
So they already put a sign, they know.
Sign's not enough. The sign has to say the rabbi. The sign has to say rabbi so and so. We trust the rabbi.
Happy
man. Yes, that vashgacha.
Otherwise, we made al atzmo.
Right. Amar Rava. So Rava said, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, your problem is only Rabbi Yehuda, who says in regards to a guy vouching for someone else being a Kohen, that there he's worried about collusion. Whereas in regards to Tamai, he's not worried about collusion. That's the only problem. Rabbanan lo Kasha, but even the Rabbanan have a contradiction. Rabbanan say in regards to Tamai that they're worried about collusion. Why would they be worried about collusion in regards to the fellow who's bringing the produce on his donkey? Whereas in regards to a guy who says that his friend is a Kohen, the Rabbanan believe him. El Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo Kasha Kiddushanina. Rabbi Yehuda is not a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda because of what we said, the difference between Tamai and Mice, Tamai and Shuma. One's Doraisa, one is a drabbanan, and there's really a rove to say that the maestros were separate. Drabbanan lokasha, the contradiction between the rabbanan and the rabbanan is also not there. Tadamar Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Rav Chama Bar Ukva is going to explain in a different Mishnah. Mishaklei Umusa Biyada. That it's talking about a case where the seller has the utensils of sale. In other words, a person we know is trying to sell, and he's broadcasting to everyone he's trying to sell. When people sell, so they say, you know, they bring a measuring cup to measure out an AFO or a log, and they bring a ruler to smooth out the top of the cup because they don't want to fill up the cup and have a little bit more in it. They want to give just the amount. So a guy who shows up with his ruler and his measuring cups, we know he wants to sell. So that's also the answer for the Rabbana. Hachanami here too. Bishaklei umnuso biyado. The guy who's coming to with the grain on the back of his donkey came with all the utensils of a salesperson. So since he's coming with all the utensils of a salesperson, so we know he's going to try to sell. He's demeaning his produce. He's saying this produce is new, it's not dried. Truma wasn't given from it. All right, that's his show here. He goes to the next town. His friend is going to say that about his own stuff and try to buttress his. And therefore, there we know that there is collusion. Hey, Chayit Madri Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Where did we learn this lesson of Rav Chama Bar Ukva? We know that things happen because the person came with his utensils to sell. The Tana of the following Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hakadu Sheniach Derosav, a potter who puts his pots down. Now we know that earthenware pots, if an Am Haaretz touches them, they become tameh. So a potter who puts his earthenware pots down, the Yarad Lishtos, and he goes to drink water from the river. Hapnimios Tahoros, those pots that are on the inside are pure. Kitzonos, those that are on the outside, would be tmeos, because they would be touched by Am Haaretz. I've got a time to the Rai Seilu Be'ilu tmeos, that all the pots are tameh, because all of them are going to be touched by an Am Haaretz. Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Rav Chama Bar Ukva answered, "B'shekvklei umnuso biyado." When the potter is walking around with all the utensils of sale, he's got a cash register, he has the ruler to smooth out the grain, he has measuring cups, so everybody knows he's selling pots. So then everybody's going to go touch his pots. If everybody's going to touch his pots, Amaratzim is going to touch all his pots too. If an Amaretz touches his pot, because it's earthenware, he makes it tummy. So then all the earthenware pots are tummy when he went down not to watch them, because he went to go drink from the river.
So Rabbi, it's theoretically, if you bought a pot...
I'll just read this word, because the hand of everybody is touching them.
So theoretically, if you bought a pot in the back, you wouldn't have to title it?
No, but you'd have to.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay. But isn't that the issue with the pure, not pure?
No, totaling is a different issue. The Torah tells us in Parshas Matos that utensils made of metal that were made by a non-Jew, or even less, that were owned by a non-Jew, you have to tovel them in the mikvah before you can use them.
So it's nothing to do with this issue at all?
Right.
But Rabbi, the peddler wouldn't allow anybody to touch his measurement tools and stuff, you know.
That's fine.
These pots have to,
but once he has these tools, then everybody knows that he's selling.
He's a people, serious guy, yeah.
When people see that the guy is selling, they're going to go, you know, touch the stuff to see if they want to buy it. So then an Amaretz will touch it too, so it becomes tummy.
But the tummy pots have to be broken, right?
Right, it's earthenware. That's right. I will say the way Tahoros, that all the pots, all the earthenware pots are Tahor. I'm Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Rav Chama Bar Ukva said that that's when he doesn't have any of his stuff with him. So then people don't think that they can go touch his stuff because he doesn't have the utensils of a salesperson. They don't think they can go touch his pots. I go all the time. What about the Mishnah that said, "Apnimios Tahoros, the inner pots are Tahor, Hachitzonios Tameos"? Hey, Kamishkachaslas, what's the case? If he came with his stuff for sale, everything should be Tameh. If he didn't come with his stuff for sale, everything should be Tahor. My answer is, that's talking about another case. That's talking about the Smichel Rishus HaRabim, when he put the pots down on the sidewalk. They used to have a street with the public domain, and then by the edges of the public domain, they used to have some stones for the area next to the public domain where people could store things, sort of like the sidewalks. He put things in the sidewalk, and he pushed the stones out. So there, the people in the public domain who come by, and when there are too many people in the public domain, they're going to be touching the pots. So when they touch the pots, they're going to make a tummy.
I'm sorry, Rabbi.
But the inner pots that are closer to the private house, they're not going to get to, so those are still tzahar.
Is this spoiled merchandise?
I mean, no, we're talking about earthenware.
I know, but...
Earthenware pots.
How do you fix it? How do you fix it?
Then it's spoiled, as Roger said, because earthenware you have to break.
Yeah, but why would the owner of these pots not look after them? Because if they are touched, then he cannot sell them.
Right.
It's completely destroyed.
What if he wraps them?
He might... Yeah, he has to... He's thirsty, he goes to take a drink.
But Rabbi, they touch only the outside of it.
No, they were talking about that. We're worried that people are going to touch inside too.
The inside the home.
Yeah. Anybody the same alternative we can say? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Weren't arguing about the question of collusion. Because if, till now we were set, if Yehuda thinks that we are worried about collusion, and how come when it came to Dmai, he wasn't worried about collusion? Because in our Mishnah Yehuda, the Rabbanan weren't talking about collusion at all. But now they're talking about B'mal and Mitchumel Yuchs and Kamiflagi. The argument is, when you allow someone to eat Shuma, does that mean automatically that therefore, as Rashi is saying, if you're allowing him to eat Shuma, therefore you're saying he's 100% and he can go marry a regular woman, and we don't have any fear at all that he might be a mamzer? That's the argument. If Yehuda holds, if we would allow him to eat Shuma, that means already we're giving him the power of Yuchsin. And for that, we need more than just one witness. And the Chacham disagree. Ibaru had a question. Would we elevate someone based on a document to say that he's a miyuchas? What's the case? Let's say you add in a document which says, I'm so and so the Kohen Chatamti. I signed as a witness, as an aide. So, man kamasid iluye, who's testifying about him? He's telling about himself. We don't believe a person. Let's say it says the following in the document. I ploni kohen, I so-and-so the kohen, lavisi mane, I borrowed 100 from so-and-so, v'chatimu sahadi, and witnesses signed on the bottom. So our question is the following. Amanisha b'shtar kamasadi, when witnesses signed, are they just testifying that there was a loan? Maybe witnesses, when they sign, are testifying to everything that's in the shtar. One of the things in the shtar is that the borrower was a Kohen. Avuna Rav Chisda argued about this. Chad Amar Malan one says if you have a good document, you could then say the person is certainly a Kohen, certainly not a mamzer, you can go marry. Chad Amar Malan one said, no. The document says that there was a loan. The document is not a proof that the fellow is a Kohen. Ibailu had another question in the yeshiva. Could we say if somebody gets up to Duchin, obviously he's a meyuchas, he's a Kohen, he's certainly not a mamzer, and he can marry? This should be a question according to the opinion that says that if we eat somebody eating chuma, then we say he's a meyuchas. And it's a question even according to the opinion that says that chuma is not approved. Because I'll tell you, chuma is a question of death. It would be death for a non-Kohen to be eating chuma. So if this guy is eating chuma, must be he's a Kohen. I want to see his kapayim. But when we talk about duchanin, if it's a non-Kohen who's doing it, what's the Avera? It's not enough. It's missing out on a Mitzvah Aseh. The Mitzvah says that Kohanim should say Birchas Kohanim. So if a non-Kohen says it, it's an Isra Aseh. So I would think that doesn't create that from there you can't extrapolate that he's a Meyuchas. Maybe there's no difference. And this is a question even according to the opinion that says that the guy being able to eat chuma is not a proof that he's a miyuchas. How do you mean eat chuma? Because maybe chuma, if he eats, it's not a proof that he's a miyuchas to masachlam at sinna, because chuma is eaten in private. I want to see his kapang with farhesia, but duchening, which occurs in public, ilav kohen, or if he's not a kohen, kuli alam masa finish nafshi. To do something publicly, a person doesn't have the chutzpah. Maybe there's no difference. And again, an argument. Rav Chisda and Rav Avina. Chadam Ramalan one says if you see someone duchening, you can say he's a miyuchas, you can go marry him off to your sister. The Chadam Ramalan one says that just because he duchened doesn't mean you should marry him to your sister. Amr Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'Rava. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asked Rava, "Ma ola halos when you see a skapan v'yotze?" If I see somebody saying Birchas Kohanim, can I assume he's a miyuchas? Amr Rav said to him, "Look to the Rav Chizur Rav Avina." That's the argument of Rav Chizur Rav Avina. So he said, "Hilchas Amai, what's the halach?" Amr Rav said to him, "Listen, I'm not masnis the Yadan. I know a brayser. The time you looked in a brayser, Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi said, Gedola chazaka. Great is the chazaka." What we see a person doing. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'bnei Kohanim, b'nei Chevi, b'nei Akos, b'nei Barzilai." They were the children of Kohanim, b'nei Chevi, b'nei Akos, b'nei Barzilai. In the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, Asher Lakach Mikdash Barzilai Giladi, who had married the daughters of Barzilai Giladi, Isha as a wife. V'yikarei al Shomim, he was therefore named b'nei Barzilai. Eile bikshu k'savam ha'misyachsim. They asked them for written documentation of their yichus. V'lonim so they couldn't find them. So they were thrown out of the status of kahuna. Nehemiah said to them, they cannot eat from karbanos, from kodesh hakodashim, until we would have a kohen and the urim v'tumim who could confirm their yichus. He said to them, but even though you can't eat karbanos, you are still in your prior status, your prior chazaka. What did you eat when you were in Bavel? You ate truma. Even now in the land of Israel, you can still eat truma. What are you going to say? If you're going to say somebody who duchins, he is already a miyuchas. So how do you keep in the parts of your diet? These people that are still being allowed to continue to duchin, because they certainly were duchin back in Bavel. So these people are going to be allowed to continue duchining. So Asilasukin, people are going to then say they're miyuchasim and they're full-fledged kohanim. It's the Gemara, no. Shani yachad the reach is kayu. Here it would be different because here you see that they can't eat kachim. They can't eat the kachim is mixbeach. They can't eat karbanos. Since everybody sees that they can't eat karbanos, no one's going to think they're full-fledged kohanim. But the fact that they can eat truma and tuchin.